Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Burlington. Accept no substitutes.
Welcome, 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 dear listeners. Welcome to Cold Blow Lane. No, it isn't. It's Zampa Road. I'm looking at the Cold Blow Lane in there. That was a Freudian slip for you, dear listeners. Welcome to beautiful Den on this sunny first day of summer's afternoon, in my opinion. Your Millwall team for this crucial visit against Cardiff City. Millwall team has one change, one big change, actually. Sarkic is in goal. McNamara, Cooper, Tanganga and Leonard across the back line. In front of them, hero of the hour, Billy Mitchell and Jules Saville from Tuesday night. Roman Essa, Zian Fleming, Ryan Longman, score of that worldie Tuesday night in front of them. A really hard-working show by Michael Obafemi after that critical 1-0 win over Leicester City on Tuesday. If we win today versus Cardiff, we sit in mid-table respectability, to 11th place for Cardiff, Millwall in 18th, but a win today all but secures safety, in my humble opinion. Blackburn beat Leeds today, so that doesn't help our cause, but all we can do is control our own destiny. We'll be looking at some other games. Birmingham play Coventry, Huddersfield play Bristol, and Stoke are at Sheffield Wednesday. That's what you call the six-pointer there. On the bench this afternoon for Millwall, Bart Bielkowski, Sean Hutchinson, Kevin Disbett makes his return, Tom Bradshaw, Adam Mayo, Joe Bryan back, Brook Norton, Carfrey Duncan, Watmore, and Caspar Dunmore. Sell out, apparently, dear listeners. Or as I've just explained to the guys next to me, all tickets sold, maybe a better way, rather than actual bums on. So there's a few seats opposite in the Docker stand that are not occupied at the moment. Millwall in their traditional dark blue and white. Cardiff wearing an almost West Ham claret, all claret affair. So if that's not reason to beat them already, apart from the relegation struggle, and I don't know what is. Beautiful afternoons. Flags are fluttering proudly. A lovely, gentle summer's breeze. Half the Den in shadow. Beautiful sunny day. So great theatre for what we hope. Fingers crossed, will be a win for the Lions. At the very worst, avoid defeat today, dear listeners. That's my assessment. But it's your assessment too. Looks like Millwall will be attacking the away end in the first half, as per the dictums of the Venerable Bede, writing the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle. All those centuries ago at Jarrow Monastery, said Millwall shall attack it for the away end in the first half. That's going to be the last to kick us off. Jules Saville get us underway. Good noise inside the Den, dear listeners. Away we go. Early ball forwards. This is Obafemi wearing his hair loose. Kind of Lenny Kravitz style this afternoon. Ball over the top. This is Ryan Longman, scorer of that fantastic goal Tuesday night. Cuts inside. Will he have another go? He's floated it in towards Obafemi and Fleming inside the six-yard box there. Couldn't quite find them. It's Obafemi now on the right side. Good start by Millwall, dear listeners. Ball at the Cardiff end pretty much since kick-off. We're a couple of minutes into the game. Birdshit corner is packed, listeners. The group on stand has been full up. There's a lot of foreign fans in this afternoon. Many, many shirts have been sold. Jump, jump, jump. Reference, of course, to that Cardiff fan a few years ago who felt he could fly. A bit like Jimmy in Quadrophenia. He felt he could fly as well, didn't he? So, yeah, loads and loads of discounted shirts for sale in a club shop. And they've been shifty, good and proper. Loads of the orange ones, loads of the white ones. It's all good. 17,000 crowd it'll be today. I was looking on Millwall history, the average gate this season, 16,500. That is unmatched in Millwall history, dear listeners, since 1952-53 for average attendances. Quite an achievement by the Millwall marketing team to take it to that level on what has been a fairly average season at best. That's been kind and polite, isn't it? 1952-53, Charlie Hewitt was the manager back in that post-war period, post-war boom in attendances. That's the last time we've had a bigger average attendance. Coldblow Lane and now Zampa Road. This is the 22 on the right though. Managed previously, of course, by Neil Harris. A shot on target, blocked well by Martija Sarkic down low and cleared by Jake Cooper. Just gone past 5 minutes. Yeah, it's a tight squeeze in Birdshit Corner, listeners. The unmopped, uncleaned section of the ground, block one, where I stand. 7 minutes, Cardiff on the break, the 27 on the right side. Puts a ball into the box, he's gone behind for a right-sided corner for Cardiff. In it comes from the right, it's a deep one, headed clear, it's followed over by the 38, first time shot. Couldn't put it on target, it's way over the bar. Slight air of chaos around the block one as people trying to find their seats, dear listeners. Some of the boys next to me apparently have had my season ticket seat have been sold to me. I saw the print out. But Millwall don't do big time situations very well, do they? I saw 1-2. This is Obafemi breaking into the box. What can he do? 1-0 Millwall! Obafemi! Blasted in from the left side. Beautiful strike. 9 minutes in. He's done a little jig down by the corner flag. Really, really nice finish. People have been querying his finishing, but he put that one over a plum. Dear listeners, 1-0 Millwall. Not going to get much of a view of the replay, unfortunately, listeners. Break down the left side, ball over the top. Obafemi pushed his way through, fired it into the net. With some ferocity, he's down on his knees, thanking the gods of football for that strike. And he's telling the Cardiff fans to keep it quiet now. And telling where to go. He must have played for him in his time. Well, there's a start for you, dear listeners. Start we wanted. Really nice finish by Obafemi, dear listeners. He had a chance on Tuesday night, of course. Big moment fell his way, couldn't take it then. But he put that one way, blasted into the bottom left corner of the goal. By the time you hear these recordings, you'll be seeing it on your YouTube, but it was a really nice finish. Another ball down the left channel, that's going to run through to Zian, but has been put into touch by the 12. Left-sided throw-in from Millwall. Good start, really good start, 11 minutes in. Did you see Forest Green Rovers berating their own fans on their social media account for on a trip to Wrexham not to engage in anti-Welsh songs, listeners? I don't know if anyone told the Wrexham fans not to engage in anti-English songs, but it's the first time I've seen that. It drew all the usual responses, put it that way. Lovely back heel touch there by Zian, trying to find Obafemi, just ran into the tackle. Nice move, Millwall. The big Millwall news, obviously, from yesterday is the announced by the South London Press that both Ryan Leonard and George Saville have triggered one-year extensions to their Millwall contracts. They will be Millwall players next season. Good news, in my opinion. Probably both will be, you know, glad to get that one-year extension, give them a bit of security for another year. And both seem to have really come into their own under Neil Harris's tutelage. So Ryan Leonard, a strong contender for player of the season. That ball falls through to Ryan Longman. Can he have a go now? There's a shot on target. Straight at the goalkeeper that time from the edge of the penalty area. A little flick on from Zian Fleming there. 21 minutes, coming towards the halfway point of the first half. It's been a brilliant start by Millwall. We've got a player down, that's Tanganga, that's SA down at the moment. Both sides taking a chance to take on some fluids. It's a warm day, not that warm, but it is warm. Free kick Cardiff, right side, just outside the penalty area. We're on 24 minutes. 27 puts the ball into the Millwall area. It says one each. 22 meets the header quite well, beaten to the punch. Millwall is sliding at the left side of the post. One all. should have done better than Millwall. That was basic defending, beaten to the punch as it came in from the right side. Strong header by the 22, 1-1. Should have been a bread and butter clearance by the Millwall defence there, listeners. That's sloppy. Ryan Nanavati's run it into touch. Millwall just gone off the board a little bit in the last few minutes, listeners. The equaliser obviously has taken the stuffing out of the den somewhat. But before that, we started off fizzing. It's just gone a little bit flat prior to the goal. So we need to find our mojo again. Probably on 28 minutes or so. Cardiff breaking on the left. Now, that's a great tackle there by Romano. So I thought he did really well on the work side of things Tuesday night versus Leicester City. Clearly he brought a bit of flair to the table, but he also did the work side of the game as well, which is what you expect, but it's gratifying to see from one of our talents, isn't it? There was an interview I saw in, or I didn't hear it, I read of it, or I read the reaction to it, where I think Zia might have said he wanted to play at a higher level if he possibly could, which I think is a perfectly normal thing for a player to want to do, but that may have taken hold amongst the Millwall connoisseurs as being that he doesn't want to play for Millwall anymore, hence the look interested thing. I think it's a bit unfair because I think he's not had his as good a season this year, but he does represent some talent. There's a lovely ball there through to SA, who just overhit it into the Oberfemis, just got away from us into the central defenders of Cardiff, gone back to the goalkeeper. But since when did fairness rule at the den, dear listeners? And balance? Moderate opinion? Never. Oberfemi getting hustled by the four. Zian SA picks the ball up, cross into the box. That was towards. Zian goes flying. No, nothing given by the referee. Oberfemi's down. Nothing given by the referee. Crowd generally disgruntled. Cardiff put it into touch for Oberfemi to get some treatment. Doug in Sweden watching via the Millwall Plus TV service says it was poor by Sarkic. Didn't pick that up from my end, Doug, but I thought it looked more like a free header being allowed to the central striker there. But he says poor from Sarkic again. He's been decent last few games. Ryan Longman speaking to the South London after Tuesday night's win. Said that we do have quality in the side. I think he showed a good, great quality, world-class quality to hit that shot from distance Tuesday night. But Ryan's saying we do have quality in this side. I think it's, on occasion it's been there, Ryan. Don't always show itself, unfortunately. Linesman's getting some stick over on the far side. I think that was for the Oberfemi challenge that put him on the floor. A couple of Swedish guys have been sat next to me, just gone downstairs for a beer, I think. And I told them to make wanker signs at the Cardiff fans whenever they go downstairs. And the man just did. Well done. He's going to go for a corner, left side. Need to stay switched on. It was a set piece previously that conceded the goal. They've got another chance to put the ball into the danger zone. It's going to be the 8 to take it on the left side. And it comes near post. It falls to the 12. Oh, and he's put it wide. Free shot. Wow. Millwall dodge a bullet there, listeners. The 12 with acres of space around him. Loads of time. Manages to hook it wide right. We dodged the bullet. 43 minutes there. Millwall have resorted to aimless football as the half has worn on. There's 4 minutes. 4 minutes of added time, listeners. Longman nutmeg there. It's gone from the Red Hill Ronaldo to trying to think of a comic figure beginning with R. Ronald McDonald. Red Hill Ronald McDonald. I need a brain that moves faster, listeners. Can you sell me one? Ball bouncing around. That's going to go for a corner. Right-sided corner. Millwall, probably about 2 minutes into the fall. I was just saying to some of the boys that they've gone downstairs for a beer now, I think. We have a huge Millwall support based in Sweden and Scandinavia, so I want to give a big shout out to all the Scandinavian listeners to this show. In comes a corner, it's cold in, it's off, batted off the line. Falls to Romanese, shot block, gone for another corner. That was a beautiful corner by Jules Savoy, curled inwards, and the goalkeeper had to punch it clear off his own line, going backwards. Fell to Romanese, whose shot was then blocked. So it's gone for another successive right-sided corner. Here we go, and it comes again. There's another curling inner corner. It falls to Romanese. He couldn't try to do a spectacular, couldn't quite get hold of it. A bit like me when I was on the golf course the other day, listeners. Oh, but it's a lovely little triangle on the right side. Roman now on the right side, floats the ball in. It falls to Cooper! 2-1 on the volley! Jake Cooper! What a goal! Right side across from Martin Essay. Finds its way through to Jake Cooper, of all the people in all the world, in all the bars. Ball to Jake Cooper, who pops it away. Spectacularly! 2-1 Millwall, just before half-time. Let's have a look at that again. Camera behind the goal. Got a little bit of space to lean across and see it. In comes from Ramon. I say a little touch header there. Falls to Jake Cooper. Takes it really well on the volley, listeners. Really, really good goal. Nice finish. Two great goals from Millwall. People looking at me talking to myself like I'm mad. Yes, indeed, everyone. I am indeed potty. Talking to myself for the benefit of the listeners. I've got to congratulate the man in front of me wearing a 1990 vintage Spall Millwall shirt. Is that an original?
88.
88? Yeah. An original?
Yeah.
Wow, you still fit in it? Yeah. It's the old kind of high-collared one. Nice, really nice. I haven't seen one of those in a long time, listeners. It was the season that we couldn't have a sponsor on the shirt. We didn't have a sponsor, and we put Millwall on the front of our shirts. You'll probably see some of the older Teddy Sheringham era, famously wearing a shirt with Millwall written across it because we couldn't have a sponsor that season. But that's a vintage shirt, dear listeners. The 22's gone off, clutching his ear, or his ear hole, as my old man would have called him. He's clutching his ear hole. He's been down for a while receiving some treatment. We're on about 52 minutes at the moment, so it's the half that will never end. Lions have done really well to haul themselves back into a game that was just starting to feel a bit like it was last night's lager gone flat in the can. There it is, half time. Mill lead it 2-1. Great, terrific opening goal by Michael Obafemi on 9 minutes. We then concede that fairly sloppy equaliser from the central defender, Cardiff, at the far post. Doug's telling me Sarkic should have done better. And then that late volley finished by Jake Cooper to lead it 2-1, and salvation back in our hands again. So there it is, half time, Mill 2, Cardiff 1. A few half-time tweets for you, dear listeners. Big shout-out to Rob Abbott, the Abbott family, actually. Three generations, first Millwall game, never youngster. And looks like Dad and Granddad there in that picture. Rob Abbott, big shout-out, Rob Abbott. Steve Evans says, deservedly leading at half-time. Just about edge that. Big 45 incoming. Ed Castle mentions a row of players' wags, wives and girlfriends, sat behind him today. New Louis Vuitton trainers are quite comfy. De rigueur. I'm inserting that, don't say that. New Louis Vuitton trainers are quite comfy and one that loves the other's lashes. He says, further updates from the real wives of Millwall County later on. I'm intrigued. There's a whole podcast in the wives of Millwall County, mate. Dan says, it took all season to score and he was downstairs at the bar, for fuck's sake, says Dan, as Jake slammed it in there. There's a great picture of Jake looking kind of insouciant, slamming in it doesn't show him slamming in his goal, but he's like a pre-taken insouciant looking Jake. Jake Sanders says, for the unteamed time, this is the best league in the world by a country mile. Let's have a look at some of the other score lines whilst I've got you on the line, dear listeners. There's kind of a country song being laid down here by Mr. DJ. Mr. Bye for now. So yeah, Leeds got beat 1-0 at Blackburn. Birmingham lead 2-0. Wow, over Coventry. Bristol 0-0 at Huddersfield versus Huddersfield. Hull beating QPR. Preston 0-0. Norwich. Sheffield Wednesday 0-0 versus Stoke. Rotherham 0-0 with Swansea. So there's one or two surprise scorelines in there, listeners. All we can do is control where we're at. And at the moment, leading 2-1. At the moment, if it stays this way, we're in 16th position. Huddersfield go below Birmingham in that third relegation spot. Long way to go. Big 45 to go, as Steve said earlier on. Is this Kenny Rogers, listeners?
Achtung, Millwall.
Just reading an article from Richard Corley, South London Press, listeners, speculating that Neil Harris's points per game as head coach on current form, he would collect 71 points next season if this form were to be maintained next year. So anyway, enough of all that speculation by Richard Corley. Good article. Well worth following. South London Press, their podcast, very good. Just waiting for the kickoff for the second half. Cardiff will be attacking the away end. Lions will, of course, be going towards the Coldrow Lane end, as per the venerable Bede. Another goal would make life much more comfortable, listeners. Longman. Oh, Watmore's come on at half-time. I missed who's come off, listeners. Apologies. I'll have to have a look at the app. Duncan Watmore's in. It's going to be a right-sided corner whilst I do my basics as a substitution. Watmore's on for Romano Esso's come out. Obafemi combining with Longman. A little bit of space for Longman. Can he get a shot away? He tries to feed it through. Obafemi just can't bundle his way through two defenders. Gone for a right-sided corner though, listeners, on 51 minutes. No goal kick. Goal kick. Giving us a goal kick. 17 coming down the left side. Great, great block. Ryan Leonard keeps the ball as well. Didn't even put it into touch there. Pulled his teammate out of trouble there. I was reading the EFL website. Listen, there was a press release about next season's iFollow, which will no longer exist. The whole iFollow thing seems to have been merged into a huge Sky Television Championship deal. They're going to show, I can't remember how many, 300-odd championship games live next season, which will almost certainly mean split kickoffs at Premier League-style times and odd nights and kickoff times. But the actual iFollow service, as far as I can read the press release, is going to be merged in with that. So you won't be able to follow iFollow as you have been maybe this season. It's all going to be Sky TV. Not sure where it leaves foreign fans. There must be some arrangement for foreign fans. So do have a look on the Millwall Club website over the months ahead, because it'll probably be laid out far more clearly than I've read it. But it was on the EFL. It's going to be 300 championship fixtures live and 200 odd League One fixtures. It's going to be a huge amount of coverage of League One, Championship, League One, League Two, and the various competitions under the EFL's umbrella. But it will all be primarily Sky TV based now. But how that's going to work out, we'll find out as the months proceed. Another reason not to get relegated. It's going to be it's a £930 million all-in deal, I think, so split amongst the 72 clubs. So it's going to be a really, really big TV deal for it's a brilliant product. I mean, the Championship is a compulsive division to follow. I mean, it's unpredictable. Someone made that point at half-time. I think it was Jake Sanders making a point about, the watchability of Championship football versus the fairly bland predictability often of Premier League football. So I can see the attraction of the TV deal, but it's going to mean the end of the iFollow service. This is Obafemi. Angela D breaks into the penalty area. Oh, great save. Nice shot low, right side. Goalkeeper got down really, really well there. Nice move, Millwall. Shot on target. Goalkeeper scoops it away from the bottom left hand corner of the goal there. We're on 61 minutes. Obafemi's strong point is he can twist and turn, he's strong on the ball, and he works space for himself. Obviously, been a lot of talk about finishing. He's finished one already in this game, but he was unlucky there. That was a good save. I think he's a strong player, personally. Good Millwall player. Right-sided corner, Jules Savile to take it. Referee's just having a word in the peloton in the six-yard box. Anyway, right-sided corner, Jules Savile. 62 minutes perhaps on the watch. In it comes, right side, hoofed off the line. I've got to get myself a digital football watch, listeners. I'm working on a Bazelle, which I think carries a little bit more style, but it's sometimes hard to tell how many minutes have gone. In comes a long throw. It's bounced onto the head of Jake Cooper and away. Unfortunately, Cardiff are going to clear that. Good solid challenge by Michael Obafemi. Made his impact on the Cardiff defender now as he's about to launch it forwards. Good work, Oba. 65 minutes, come to 66 minutes, dear listeners. Ryan Leonard to take. In it comes. Not far enough, unfortunately. Don't really have a very long throw in, but neither Leonard nor Zian really have a dangerous long throw. They always seem to make it to the 6-yard line, further than I can throw it, listeners, but we've never really had a decent, 6-yard box long throw merchant, nor do we have any great aerial threat, even if we did. But anyway, there we are. Let's not dwell on that. A long range shot from distance, leaving the Cardiff 9. down well by Sarkis there. He had to go down smartly, took it well, down low left. Ticking towards 67 minutes. So we're coming towards halfway through the second half. Lions leading by that terrific Jake Cooper volley at the end of the first half. It's been fairly evens, I'd say. A second goal, a third goal, would really seal the deal for me. But at the moment, Lions doing okay. Lovely back heel there. That's Watmore trying to combine with Obafemi. Almost coming off. Lovely back heel from Zian to put that little moment on there. Longman in physically, strong on the right side. Little bit of handbags. The blonde, dyed blonde Cardiff defender and Ryan Longman going up against each other, possibly arguing about hairstyles. Longman telling the linesman he came in over the top at him, hence the reaction, I think. I didn't see that. The angle was not good for me to see that. Referee's going to tell him to shake hands like gentlemen. Yellow card. Yellow card for the pair of them. Longman was indicating to the linesman that the defender had come in over the top at him. Cardiff 17, blonde hair, dye-up job. Hot Gossip used to have a bloke look like him back in the 80s, all you older listeners. Don't tell me you didn't watch it. A few chaps posing for their then photographs down in front of me, all wearing their replica shirts. We've done some big business today, listeners, I tell you. The replica shirts have flown out of that club shop. Ryan Leonard surging forwards from defence here. He's gone past the 17. Can he make it there? No, he's just put it into touch. Unlucky. Good run there, Ryan Leonard. 70 minutes on the clock. Looks like it's Bradshaw time, dear listeners. Obafemi coming out. Standing ovation for Michael Obafemi from the West Upper, dear listeners. He's applauding the crowd. The crowd's applauding him. Good performance. Good goal. Strong, strong performance up front, Michael Obafemi. In comes Tom Bradshaw for the final 20. Bradshaw does a little hopping kind of motion and he comes in. I wonder what that's all about. He kind of comes on the pitch, does a little hop, and then gets into full stride. Anyway, long throw. Ryan Leonard on the right side. In it comes. Glancing header, it falls to Watmore. It was on target, but into the back of one of the defenders there. Saville gets clipped. That's a free kick on the left side. 72 minutes. Mill free kick, left side. Another goal will put this to bed. Tucked up with a mug of Ovaltine and a bedtime story. Hot water bottle. At 2-1, you've always got that kind of edgy sense of unease. It's going to be Jules Saville to take. It's across the face of the goal. Escaped everybody. Low flight. And it just went in front of everybody, it seems, from this angle. Gone for a goal kick. Tanganga with a solid challenge on the 20. Does let the 45 through on the left, unfortunately. It's a ball into the box. Cleared away from the oncoming forward there by Danny Mack for the 32. Almost made it in front of him there. That was a moment. 15 minutes to go. Cardiff chance from the left side. This is Longman now on the right side. He just runs it straight into a defender. This is Ryan Leonard. Good defending there between Leonard and Billy Mitch. Leonard with a ripped shirt now. I think he had to take a bit of shirt tugging there. Good defending Danny Mack there on the as Cardiff came down the right side there. The 32 tried to cut in inside him, but Danny was equal to that task. He's played well. We'll pick out a few players, really. I mean, defence has done pretty well, apart from that sloppy equaliser in the first half. But overall, Ryan Leonard probably my standout, but Tanganga and Cooper have done well, as has Danny Mack. Midfield, Billy Mitch, I think done very well this afternoon. Jill Sav. Watmore's done well in the second half with more energy and running. Here he comes here at the moment. He's fed Fleming inside him. Will he ram those words down my throat? He's shot on target. Bobbling shot, pushed around by the goalkeeper. Left. 85 minutes, left side of corner. I thought Obafemi did really well up front. Man of the match, I'm going to go with Billy Mitchell, actually. I think he's done really well this afternoon. But you can take your pick from a few players out there, listeners. So don't at me, as the kids say. Don't at me. I'll go with Billy Mitch personally. We'll see what others think when the edition goes out. Probably be tomorrow. Left-sided corner, Saville to take it. Cooper gets his head to it. Body's flying everywhere, but cleared body. Cardiff defence, unfortunately. Here on the break on the left side. Great tackle. Billy just took the sting out of that little moment. The 45 does pick it up again, though. Cardiff on the right. Right-sided corner, Cardiff. Obafemi's got inside of him. I wouldn't argue with that either. I thought he'd done really well. Good goal.
as it is, we've got a right-sided corner to defend here, listeners, so let's not get carried away with giddy compliments. In it comes. It's over the heads of everybody. Billy gets ahead to it. Still in Cardiff possession, though. Mill got everyone behind the ball at the moment. Cardiff 38 on the left side, down in front of us in Birdshit corner. 16 now, puts the ball in. That's got to be onto the head of Danny Mack, it is. But Cardiff do keep a bit of possession. A little bit of pressure here, listeners. Oh, a little moment. There's a ball across the box. I thought he might have got clipped there for a go down for a soft penalty at the 32, but stayed on his feet, thankfully. Put the cross in. It went over the heads of everybody. He's gone for a throw-in. Ryan Leonard's shirt completely ripped down to Husky. Kind of 1970s Playboy style. Shirt, you know, slashed to the waist kind of look. Jason King, for all you older listeners. 5 minutes added time, listeners. Yeah, huff and puff second half. More than to us, listeners. Be a very, very valuable win. A win that should do enough to sustain our championship status. Not mathematically, we're looking at the current results. A lot of unlikely looking wins on the card at the moment. But in those situations, all you can do is win your own game. That's what we're doing so far. Ball breaks. Brooke Norton Cuffey on the right side. Can he get a ball into the box? It's Duncan Watmore. 3-1! Duncan Watmore seals the deal, dear listeners. 3-1. Millwall. That should be enough to see us in the championship. Nice break down the right side. Ball in from the right from Brooke Norton Cuffey. Finds Duncan Watmore in front of goal. Puts it away with a plum. 90 plus 2. Then in celebratory mood, dear listeners. Rightly so. It's been a good performance. Can't argue a 3-1 win. Zian Fleming coming out. In comes Casper Denoir, dear listeners. This has gone to Brooke Norton Cuffey. Gone taking it to the corner, dear listeners. There it is. Full time 3-1 Millwall. Deservedly so. Massive step towards championship salvation, if not the done deal. Certainly we're at the top of the rung of the ladder now. Good performance overall, I thought. Man of the match for me, as I said. I thought I'm going to go with Billy Mitchell. Over Femi inside the stadium, but you can take your pick from any of the defensive players. Ryan Leonard, of course. Saville, to some extent. Yeah, good performance. Great opening win, opening goal from Over Femi. Then that beautiful volley, which gave us a valuable lifeline just before half-time. And then that late winner from Duncan Watmore. Bit of a quo for you here, mate. There we are. Terrific win for the Lions at home. We're going to be back after these messages.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to the post-match review after that excellent 3-1 win this afternoon over Cardiff City. Joining me to chew the cud is show regular Graham Payne. Welcome to the show, Graham.
Hello, Nick. Nice to be on again, mate.
Yeah, nice circumstances. Normally you're a Jonah bringing bad luck and defeat and away flop performances. Not today, though, mate.
Since Neil Harris has come back. I think every time I've been on since he's come back, we're not lost.
Honestly, for a manager, Graham, that has gets a fair amount of criticism, Neil Harris, yeah. You know, and there's a lot of kind of
how can we put it, half-hearted praise or grudging kind of you know, comments about him. His track record, I mean, to get us close now, we're not quite at mathematical safety, listeners. 50 points after that win this afternoon. We've got a six-point spread down to Huddersfield. Quite a few bodies between us and Huddersfield in that third position, Graham. But it does feel that much closer now. I think maybe anything from Sunderland, Plymouth and then Swansea, if we can get 1 point, that probably takes us into the safety zone. So, massive achievement. We're not quite there yet, so we probably ought to be a bit guarded in our praise. And I'm just looking at CBO 1885. Big shout out to you, 1885 online. He says, that should see us safe, that win. But you're not a Millwall fan, Graham, if you're not sleeping happily tonight. So, we're not there yet.
Well, the turnaround in a week has been unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I mean, after last Saturday, Huddersfield, it was...
Shambles.
We're down, yeah. It's done, we're going down. And in two wins, you know, yeah. Two good performances, and the moose, you know, it's totally changed again.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of schizophrenic nature of modern-day football support, I think. But, yeah, it was a terrifically hard-working win today. We needed to get over the line today. We did it. One change to the starting level, and that was the introduction of SA for Honeyman, who I think was injured on Tuesday night, wasn't he? So not available today. So, yeah, I mean, I thought we actually made a really good start. I mean, the opening goal on, which was around about 9 minutes, 10 minutes, I think, by Obafemi, was really nicely finished. For a player that's been criticised for not finishing very well, he finished that one very well today, Graham, didn't he? Nice move to open the account.
He smashed that in, didn't he? Right in the near post, I mean.
Over the top, which I...
Yeah.
There was a point prior to that, just before we scored with it, but I thought, oh, I do hope we're not going to spend all afternoon putting the ball over, long balls over the top for him to run onto, and then he went and scored. So, shows you what I know about tactics, listeners, but he certainly buried that one, didn't he? That was finishing of the top order. So we started off really attractively, I thought. We're going quite well, but we just seem to lose a bit of fizz just going into the equaliser. Which was a sloppy defence, in truth. I thought we should have done a lot better for that equaliser, Graham.
Yeah, I mean, it's down the other end, I think, similar to yourself. And we the guy out-jumped Tanganga. But there was...
Matey.
I mean, there's been
Matey,
that Sarkic could have done better with it. I'm not going to say he could, because I can't be 100% certain of that. But,
no, I haven't seen it back. I got a text message from Doug in Sweden, who was obviously watching on telly. He said, Sarkic should have done better. I can't vouch. I've not seen the replay, and you haven't either, Graham, so, we'll have to let that hang there. But I thought in real time to be beaten for the header by their centre-half, I just thought that was pretty sloppy defending.
Yeah.
And I must admit, my heart sank a little bit at that point, because we seemed to completely lose our vim at that stage. We fizzled out of our game completely. I kind of suspected it might get away from us a little bit at that point, but we hung on in there, really, didn't we, to get through to near half time, then a terrific, really terrific finish from the most unlikely source, which was Jake Cooper, that volley from an SA cross on the right side. Nice finish.
There was a crucial thing that happened. That we'd had three corners then around that time. Savoy had one that nearly went in. The keeper saved, and the next one SA had a shot and it went over. But that third one, it came out to SA again. He had a terrible shot and it went straight to two or three Cardiff players, I think they're going to catch us on the break here. And Danny Mack swung across and put a lovely tackle in, put it out wide, and then it ended up with SA. And then, as you say, Jay Cooper at the far post followed it home.
It took a flick head on, because it was SA's cross in from the right. And I think
it was Longman.
Was it? Okay.
I think it was either Longman or Fleming. One of them two did it.
And nice touch on, and then it fell into the bar for Jake, who took it first time on the volley and put it into the roof of the net. And that was a big weight off of everyone's shoulders around the den, Graham. It certainly felt a bit of a burden relieved off of me, because I thought if we'd gone at one each, it would have just felt like we're going to be clinging on slightly. But second half, really, really strong, hard-working performance. I can't remember many, if any, Cardiff chances. I mean, I've not seen any of the footage back, listeners. and we're speaking on Saturday evening, having not long got home.
I think nothing much
comes to mind, Graham.
A couple of long range shots that Sarkic dealt with easily, but other than that, I don't recall anything. I was surprised with he took SA off at half time. I thought he was injured, but he wasn't. He said I've seen quotes online that he took him off for a tactical switch with obviously Watmore coming on.
I mean, he'll be judged on the result. So it was, with a 3-1 win in his account, Neil Harris can say I made the right decision. I must admit, I was surprised. I didn't think SA did that bad. It was his cross for the second goal. I suppose Watmore gives you just more sheer running energy, Graham, doesn't he? He brings that kind of, the Duracell battery kind of approach that he just doesn't seem to switch off.
I think Neil Harris favours Watmore for home games as well. He seems to played, I think, every game at home that he's been fit. But and he did have quite a good half, really. He took the goal well right at the end as well. So, You can't knock that switch, really.
No. Edge of the seat stuff through the second half, as it always is with Millwall, until we get that, we don't often get that cushion goal. It did come quite late in proceedings, the third one for Duncan. Well, it was a nice break, actually. I think that was a Brooke Norton Cuffey cross, if memory serves. And
it was
the assist. I'm looking at the assist there because it's Watmore put it home and Norton Cuffey put the cross in, just looking at the BBC website, listeners. So that was a nice finish. That felt like a game, set, and match at that stage. Not often that I'm trying to remember last time we scored 3 goals at home. It would be a little while ago.
I think it was...
Off the top of my head, I can't Rotherham. Think when that was.
I think it was Rotherham.
I suppose it was Rotherham, yeah. But it's nice to get that, get that kind of scoreline in. And crucial win. It takes us up to 16th position now, Graham. And as we said at the start of the conversation, 6 points spread down to Huddersfield, who were punished. I don't know if you've seen this on social media yet, but they were winning at Bristol City, listeners, and got awarded a penalty, and it looked like a very hazy decision. I think the ball just struck the Huddersfield defender, Bristol City cross, and they got a penalty and made it 1-1, so that's put them into potentially that decision, which was debatable, will put them into League One. I suppose those are the margins now, with just 3 games to go. You're going to get that kind of situation. Speaking after the game, Neil Harris said Tuesday night was mega against Leicester City, mega performance. Today was slightly different. I make it right. I mean, obviously Leicester came with from the Barcelona school, didn't they, intending to pass the ball. Yeah. Cardiff weren't quite that kind of side, but we still had to work very hard to get that win, Graham. I think I've got to take my hat off to the squad for two big performances in 7 days.
Well, yeah, especially after, as you said, the two dreadful performances at Rotherham and Huddersfield. To come back from that, you, as you say, you've got to take your hat off to them. I'm not going to be too negative, but I thought the one disappointment, again, for me, was Zion Fleming. He just doesn't seem to do anything.
There was a bloke in where I sit in Birdshit Corner, listeners. There was a bloke, you might get it on the recording I made earlier, when he was slating Zion Fleming. Something chronic. And I know that he did an interview in a week, Graham. All players are going to say they want to play at a high level, and I don't think you can particularly crucify him for wanting to play at the highest level, but I suppose some people seize upon that as evidence that he wants to leave Millwall. We'll see what the summertime brings, to be honest. I mean, I don't think I could have faulted his effort or input today particularly. Would you criticise him for that today, effort wise?
I just thought he was a passenger, Nick. I don't know whether he's being asked to play like off up front, and he was competing for a lot of headers and didn't really win many. But his actual contribution to the game, I thought, at times he was just like a passenger. The game was like bypassing him by, and I just think for a so-called best player, I would say, I think he has been a major disappointment this season. And I think part of that article was he saying that in the summer he'd like to move on, I think, if I'm read it right, the one in Dutch.
I haven't read it, so I'm, you know, I'm going by what other people's reactions,
The transfer fee can be agreed and everything, but I think I would say that I don't think we're going to get anywhere what we would have got for him
a couple of years ago.
Last summer.
No, we'll see. I mean, I do agree that for our inverted commas talent, it doesn't change games. It doesn't really take a grip on a game in the way that you might have expected. He was going for headers more today, but I think that's going to be Neil Harris's style. He wants, he basically wants Steve Morrison up front, really, doesn't he? He wants someone that's going to, you know, have physical presence. Yeah. And I think possibly, and I'm speculating here, listeners, that, you know, Zian's a big boy. He's not short on physique, but he doesn't really impose himself. And maybe it's that kind of laid back. Certainly my mate in block one was telling him, putting him straight as to what he ought to be doing and what he's not doing, Graham, today. Interesting quote here. I'm just reading the BBC. This is post-match with Neil Harris. He said it on the Mill TV, I think, as well. He says, every man and his dog wanted to tell me that this group, didn't know how to play at the Den. And he goes on to say his job was to galvanise a football club, which he's done. And you know, whatever you might say about his tactical nous as a manager, and he's had plenty of criticism, you know, on this show and others and online, you can't argue with his results. You can't argue with the job he's done, Graham. I mean, let's presume we're safe. I mean, it might be tempting Lady Fate a little bit, but you know, to motivate these players, as I think the second half was pure motivation. Someone's asked, what does he say at half time? I don't know. He seems to be good at motivation rather than perhaps the tactical side of it. I don't know. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. I think tactically at times, you know, it can be found wanting. As I said, maybe we should be this revolutionary team where we have Neil Harris in for home games and get a coach in for the away games.
Like the England cricket team, have like a test captain and a white ball captain, don't they?
Yeah, because
a novel approach.
You know, he knows how to get results at the Den. Something Gary Rowett never knew, how to get a result in a big crowd at the Den. He does.
I mean, I hesitate to use these phrases because they've been so overdone over time, but let's he gets the Den, doesn't he? I think it's his theatre, and some players and some managers, and I think Harris is probably the prime example of that. They just respond to the Den. Others fail there, and we've seen plenty of examples of players and that both rise to the Den and fail at the Den. Neil very much gets the Den, and that, you know, I suppose if you can fire up the players to give a crunching tackle or two, you know you're going to get the Den onside very, very quickly, because that's kind of all a lot of them want, really. So all I want, I think, sometimes. So, you know, it's the home manager and away man would be very novel, wouldn't it? I wonder if Aldo's listening to this show. I bet he nicks that idea, listeners. I bet he steals it and says it's his. but yeah, no.
I mean, imagine the throw if they did do it.
Oh, can you imagine the feuding that will go on between the home manager and the away manager when one's doing better than the other? Gary Rowett away, Neil Harris at home. Yeah. How does that sound, listeners? Does that sound good? Gary, three goals winning Rowett at Birmingham, put three past their Coventry today, their opponents. So it's certainly an interesting division to be in. I've got to say that. I mean, sometimes it can be a bit too interesting if you're staring down the barrel of relegation.
It, you know, we need to be in it next season, without a doubt. We cannot afford to go into League One. All along I've said that. You know, the League One is the worst place we would have been.
Oh, it'd be disastrous when you look at who you'd be playing there. Yeah. You know, I mean, even the teams coming up from League Two, you've got Stockport. No disrespect to any of these clubs. We've had to play them ourselves. You know, you've got the Burton Albions and the Crewe Alexandras, and your big game of the season would be a trip to Reading or a trip to Charlton, maybe an away game at Leighton Orient or something. That's the level that you're at. But no, the TV deal is it's not a Premier League level TV deal, listeners, but it's certainly, you want a slice of the cake of it, because they're going to do away with the iFollow service, from what I can make out reading the press release. I don't know how it's going to work for foreign viewers, but It's going to be much more Sky TV focused. So it's a big platform, and there's a lot of Swedish fans in Block One today. I don't know how it was in your spot over where you sit, Graham, but there was a lot of foreign fans. It was full house, all tickets sold. And those orange and the white away shirts was flying out. Everyone was wearing. It was like a dress code in Block One today. They're all wearing these things.
There was a few actually in our block, in the Block 46 in the east, the Dokolowa. But I think because they're selling them off cheap at the moment. All the kits and
that. Yeah, they're shifting them, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, you know, good marketing. That's what you want. The Swedish guy next to me was, his English wasn't terrific, so I would have interviewed him for the show, but he was asking me if I was around in the 80s. I think he thought I was some kind of face leader, hanging with the chaps in F Troop or something. I said, well, I've been around since the 70s. So I know, yes, I know all about it, but no, I'm
still
French,
got your surgical mask, Nick.
I was actually at, I went to that game, I was at Bristol Rovers away, and they were handing those things out. I thought, what's this, you know? And surgical mask. So I did get one. I should have kept it. It's like so much in my life, Graham. If I'd have kept these objects, you know, from the past, like dinky toys with the box still on them, I'd be worth a fortune.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if any of those things survive. So I did get one. But no, I think he thought I was like, I don't know, Harry the dog or something. fair play to the club. They're selling the tickets. About 17,000 crowd. I didn't see the attendance today. Mm. Let's just have a look. 17,151. And, you know, that's quite an incredible average. I think we were averaging 16,500 plus. That might have gone up after today's. Figures that we haven't had those figures, Graham, since the early 1950s. So that's quite an achievement. So, you know, I'm swift to knock the club and their inability to clear bird shit, but you can't knock the fact they're selling the tickets. That's all they can do. So well done, FC. There we are. So, safety not quite in our grasp, listeners, but as near as damn it. Trip to Sunderland next week, mid-table respectability for them. So, if we can pull off even a point there, that should do us, depending on other results. So then the summer of some big decisions, I think, Graham. Mm. I think they're going to retain Neil Harris. I can't see the club getting rid of Neil Harris in the aftermath of saving us from the fate that was looming a few months ago, for better or for worse. I can't see the club, you know, choosing to lose Neil Harris. I don't really know who would come in his place. If not, we've had our fingers burned slightly with the Joe Edwards experience. So I think there's probably going to be a place for Neil Harris if he wants it. And I can't imagine he would want to leave, really.
Yeah, which I don't think has happened, that although they've announced he had an 18-month deal, whether it was in place that come the end of the season, he could walk away if he wanted to. You know, he's a chief. Yeah. You know, but I agree with you. I think he will be in charge next season. And then,
it's going to be interesting to see what signings we can make. I mean, someone was asking about Obafemi. Well, I think Obafemi, because he's starting to look the part now. He's looking like the quality Premier League level striker that he is, and the same with in defence, Tanganga. I mean, we're probably going to need to find another loanee or two, because I can't believe we're going to have that much to bring to the table to sign big money talent. It will also be interesting to see how much of the youth talent comes through. You know, I'm thinking of the Adam Malarkeys and the Alex Mitchells and players of that ilk. I mean, even Ramon Essay started today, didn't finish. But you'd think that bringing those players through would be key. Whether Neil Harris is a man tasked for that, I don't know. It's going to be interesting, isn't it?
I think especially someone like, as you said, Alex Mitchell. I mean, he's been on loan. Lincoln. Three or four, you know, I don't know, he's had two or three loans, and he's doing okay this season at Lincoln, who I think, I don't know if they're in the playoffs or just outside. So I think, you know, it's got to be make. He's either going to have to be given a chance, or they're going to have to,
well, let him go, or does he have a future? That will be the decision.
I mean, and the same also for contract before he went to Lincoln. I mean, online.
Well, he's played, as far as I can tell. I've not really followed Lincoln's season, but I think he's started a lot of games there. And let's not forget Chin Okoli, who's gone to Bromley, also playoff bound, I think, in the National League. So they may be, you know, maybe looking at League Two if it all goes well for them next season. But he's been pretty much a fixture at Bromley. So, you know, again, same question. He lifted the youth, the under 21 cup, not at the start of this last season, end of last season. So again, questions. You know, is he looking at a future here, or what we're going to do? I don't know. So it's going to be an interesting few months. We don't really do vision very well at the Den. That's my only concern.
No, we don't, do we? Come on.
Oh dear, let's keep our fingers crossed. Graham, I really appreciate time out your night, mate. Thanks for coming on the show.
No problem, Nick. Anytime, mate.
On to Sunderland next week, dear listeners. Thank you for listening to Achtung Millwall. Until the next edition, which will probably be tomorrow with the voicemails from Graham and myself, it's good night, Vienna. Achtung Millwall.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.